are y'all doing tonight? Yay! Good. I want to ask y'all a couple of questions. How many of you girls feel like your mom is always telling you what to do, where to go, what to eat, what to wear? Okay, the more questions I ask, the more hands I see going up. All right. Well, Meredith said, told you that I have a daughter who is, she's almost 21. She'll be 21 in a couple of weeks. But I spent a lot of her life doing all of those things, telling her where to go, what to eat, what to do, picking out her clothes, telling her what to wear. Well, a couple of nights ago when I was trying to get all my stuff ready for teaching at Powdersville tonight and teaching tonight, Morgan happened to be home from school, and I said, Morgan, come help me find something to wear. So she comes in, and she's the one saying, try this, put this on, try that. No, that doesn't match. Ooh, that's good. Here, wear that. That works. That's good. That one will work. And so just wanted to give you girls some hope that maybe one day you will get to tell your mom what to do, because that happened with us this week. But really, I wanted to just take another minute, because I do see some familiar faces in here, but not a lot of you that I know well, and just tell you a little bit more about me and our family. And I was trying to think of maybe a word that would describe our family, and thought about that for a while, and really the best thing that I could come up with was active. We are a very active family. We hardly are ever at home, if you know anything about us. We love to do things outside. We love to hike and mountain bike. Morgan and I both love to run. And we actually did something really fun last spring for Morgan's birthday last year. She decided that all she wanted was for our family to do a mud run together. And that's really not my idea of running, but I thought, okay, we can try this. And I don't like to get dirty, especially my face, and I'm thinking mud in my ears and all of that, but it's okay, I'll get over it. And I don't like to be cold. That's why I'm sure all of y'all in here are burning up. They did get the air turned on, but I am perfectly fine right now in my jacket. And especially cold and wet. I love it to be wet when it's 9 degrees, but not when it's chilly. Well, y'all remember what the weather was like Friday and Saturday? Cold, rainy, wet. That was what it was like on our mud run day. We spent a grueling 3.1 miles in that. I have never seen so much mud in my entire life, but we did it. We came up on the last obstacle that we had, and y'all ever seen the TV show Wipeout? Some of you, okay, remember some of the big slides that they had? We had to climb up these big stairs up to the top of this huge slide that was really scary to look at, slide down it into a freezing cold pond, and swim across the pond to the finish line. Not my idea of fun at the time. And there were guys in the water in full wetsuits, basically to save us if we got too cold and we're going to drown. But anyway, we got to the end, and I've got a picture of the result that day. So you can see there, Morgan and I really were, really more me than her, dressed for function, not fashion, on that day. But that does, that picture does kind of give a good synopsis of our family, maybe. I just wanted y'all to see. We do have a lot of fun and enjoy doing those kinds of things. So just give you a little insight into our life there. Well, Meredith already asked, just a few of you are here for the first time, so hopefully you got to listen to the talks online and catch up with where we are. But I just want to make sure that we remember way back 3 weeks ago when Christy talked, she helped us understand God's plan for us as women, what He intended for us to be. The big idea for God's plan, and that is to be an Ezer. Remember, she used the words essential counterpart, and that really we could just say is a needed companion or a necessary helper. Kind of helps us understand what that is. But it's to live out kind of a special ability that God gives women to invite, nurture, and partner. And that was his plan. But then a couple of weeks ago, Meredith came and told us some bad news. We looked at the Bible again and saw where God was telling us about ourselves and about the world. And she explained why things don't always go the way Christy had described and why it's really hard sometimes. And she showed us a really cute slide, and I think we have it again, with the backwards hat boy and the side ponytail girl. Y'all remember her. And what happened here? Sin came into God's perfect creation, and the plan was broken. She told us about the mirror that, like at the fair, that's distorted and just doesn't show the picture of you the way that you're supposed to be. Now, what was the word that she used to describe the sin that, in particular, that women have? Autonomy, right? And autonomy is living, acting, and thinking like I am in charge. I am my own authority. I make the rules. I decide who I will obey and even if I will obey. And with what kind of attitude I might. I am the focus. Myself is my authority. Remember the song? No right, no wrong, no rules for me. Remember that? Great illustration of autonomy. Then side ponytail girl tells us there down at the bottom two different ways that autonomy can kind of live out in our lives. And one of them is the girl shouting. What was that? Self-promotion, right? Drawing attention to ourselves for selfish gain. And then the other is this girl, self-protection, yes, withdrawing from others because of fear. Both of those are self-focused. So our ability to be an Ezer, to invite, nurture, and partner, is broken because of sin. Now, it would be really, really awful news if that was the end of the story, right? Really awful news, but it's not. The Bible tells us one really big story, and we call that the gospel. Gospel is a word we hear a lot, but a lot of times we don't really know what it means. And all it means is that it's a message of good news, a message of victory. And the good news that we're talking about when we talk about the gospel is that because of Jesus and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can fight against our default of autonomy. We want to look at a verse that will help us see that. And that is, it's actually a couple of verses from Romans. They were written by Paul, who is one of the men that God used to write the Bible. And he was writing a letter to the church at Rome. So do we have, I think it's Romans 8, verse 9, the first part of verse 9. Says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And then chapter 6 explains a little bit more. We've got verses 6 and 7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. These true words from the Bible are telling us that with Jesus, we can fight against what's broken in our lives. So I said a few minutes ago that there's this really big story that the Bible tells us, and we call it the gospel. But it has a pretty simple outline. And we've got that outline in your book for you. If you want to turn to page 13 in your book, you can see it there. It's kind of a picture. And we're going to start at the bottom and talk about creation. Creation answers the question for us, where did we come from? We know that God created the world, and he created us. humans. And he created us for him. And he created us to represent him and to reflect him to the rest of the world. Now let's talk about represent for a minute. When you represent someone, you might go in their place somewhere. You might go and stand in their place. When we ran in the mud run, we had to go the day before and pick up our numbers, the numbers that you put on your shirt when you're running in a race. And Morgan couldn't go because she was in college at school, so she couldn't go. So I took all of her papers, her registration, and her identification, and I went to the place and took it there, and I represented her, and they gave me her number. And that's what we're talking about here, is that we are to represent God to others and to the world. But we're also called to reflect God. And when we think about reflect, we typically think about what? A mirror? Is that what I heard? A mirror. Okay. Well, I've got an idea here. Let's make sure I use the right side. And we're going to think of this mirror as us. Okay? And I've got a flashlight. And the flashlight is God. And what we want to do is reflect him. Let's see if I can get everybody here. Y'all see it? It's kind of right. Okay, I'm going to turn it off before I blind somebody. Well, what do you see when you looked here? You saw the light? Were you looking at the mirror and focusing on the mirror? No, you saw the light. The light is what you were seeing. And that's exactly what we're to do, is to reflect God so that people see him and his character. They're not focused on us. Y'all see that? Okay, so this is the way things were meant to be. But the next piece of the story in the gospel is called the fall. And it answers the question, what went wrong? Well, we already said sin came in to God's perfect creation. Adam and Eve rejected God's rule. They completely rejected his authority in their lives. The result was complete brokenness. Got another mirror here. This took me a couple of times. Took me a couple of times last night. All right, here we go. Okay, you see, I'm a mom, so I couldn't do this without the plastic bag. I can't risk getting glass on the floor. But I think I can take it out of the bag now a little bit. So is the mirror functioning the way it's supposed to now? No. It would not reflect the light correctly anymore. This is what happens to us because the world isn't functioning the way God intended anymore, and we are separated from God. The mirror's broken. It cannot be fixed. I know that for sure. I Googled it. You cannot fix a mirror. Okay? You could try. You could try to glue the pieces back together. You could try to tape it, but it would never be right again. So how do you fix the mirror? You get a new one. Right. What do you buy a new one with? Money? Play money? Counterfeit money? Real money. Right. You have to have real money to fix the mirror. Just like us, we have to have perfect payment for our brokenness, for our sin. Now, God doesn't want our relationship to stay broken. And that brings us to the next piece of the story. And that's a big church word. You see it there on your paper. Redemption. You've probably heard it a lot of times, but we can think about it kind of with a word that is the main word that we hear when we say it, and that's redeem. And that can help us understand it. And all redeem means is to pay for something that you owe, or maybe to buy something back, or exchange one thing for another. That's what redeem means. And the problem is, we just said, is that we need perfect payment to pay for our sin. We need real money. And we aren't real money. Adam and Eve weren't real money. We are not perfect. We are sinful. But Jesus can pay. Jesus is all God, and he is all man. And because he is God and he lived a perfect life without any sin, he can pay with himself, with his own life. He died on the cross in our place, and he covers over the record of our sin with his blood on the cross. He takes the record of my sin and takes my punishment. And even more than that, he gives to us his perfect life. This makes us perfectly acceptable to God. God has nothing to hold against us. Let's think about it like a report card. Y'all all get report cards? Yeah? About to get some soon, really, in a probably a few weeks. Okay, well, our report card is all F minuses, right? Okay, Jesus's report card is all A plus. What he has done not only is take all of our F minuses and put them on his report card and take all of the consequences and all of the punishment for that. But he has taken all of the A pluses that he has, and he's given those to us on our report card. And we get the blessings for that. Do you see? It's an exchange. Like we said, that redeem is an exchange. He exchanges our worthless sin for his perfect life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God." So when God looks at us, he sees Jesus's perfect life. We are covered with his perfect life. And what did we celebrate this weekend? Easter. What happened on Easter? Why do we celebrate? The resurrection. Right. Jesus came back to life. And when he came back to life, he proved that he had the power to cover over our sin. And he proved that he has the power over life and death, because he is God. And our response to him is to follow him and do what he does, to reflect him, just like we said with the mirror. So the mirror isn't broken anymore. It's able to reflect the light well and correctly. And that brings us to the last step, the final step in the story. And this is restoration. What can I look forward to? God has promised to make the whole world new again. This answers the question, well, I said, what can I look forward to? And he is going to renew the whole world. He has promised to get rid of all sin. Now, we can live today not just hoping that there'll be a day like that, but if we have trusted Jesus, we can know with confidence that there'll be a day that we live with God forever, and that there'll be no sin and no brokenness. So the big question we have to answer is, does that make a difference in our life today? Does that make a difference to you? when you go home tonight with your siblings, or when you go to school tomorrow with your friends, maybe, and then maybe some not friends that you are going to encounter in the day. Does that make a difference to us now? Well, let's see what God says the difference should be. We've got a slide of Romans 6, 12 through 14. And it says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead. But get this part. But now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So this is telling us that with Jesus, we are a new person with new life, and we can live with freedom to reflect God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. So, this is the way we can think. Because of what Jesus has done, I am now free to turn, that's what the word repent means, to turn my back on sin, turn from my desire to do only what I want to do. That's what we said is autonomy. And instead, turn to wanting to do what represents and reflects God and His character. I can invite, nurture, and partner without being self-promoting or self-protective. Y'all get that? Now, this is impossible on my own. And I've tried it on my own, sadly. And I'm sure there are a lot of moms in here who probably have too. And girls, don't think that your moms are not going through these same things in their lives. We all, as women, need to understand what Jesus has done for us and how that affects us daily. But it's impossible on our own. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have that when we've trusted Jesus. We're not just trying to better ourselves or trying harder. That really just leads us back to autonomy. We're depending on our relationship with our Creator, with Jesus. Depending on our relationship with Him. I mean, we have even more good news. And this is one of my favorite verses. It's one that I think everybody should memorize. It's 2 Peter 1:3 says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Did you get that? What has He given us? Some things? Everything. He has given us everything we need. And the change is not instant. It is a process. We become more and more like Him as we grow in our relationship with Him. And that's what you're doing here by learning about this. And we learn to represent and reflect Him even more clearly. Well, let's see what this can look like in your daily life. Let's talk about inviting. And inviting is really a door to nurturing and partnering. It helps us, when we understand inviting, that helps us to be more nurturing and partnering. So we're going to talk a little bit longer about that. Let's think of it this way. Inviting, remember, is welcoming others into an unselfish relationship. Now, remember that definition when Christy shared that with us? So we can think, because Jesus invited others to Himself, even though He was rejected and mocked, I am free to invite others, even if they or other people reject and mock me. For example, I can include people who aren't in my crowd without fear of being rejected by others in my crowd, because even if I am, I know I am completely accepted in Christ. And he was rejected and mocked. He has been there before me, and he is the one that comforts me and gives me strength and power. You could think of this: because Jesus did this for me, I am free to be friends with those that others reject. Or, this is a good one, I am free to walk into a room like this, full of people that I don't know, and actually go up and talk to someone and start a conversation. How many of you, that would be like one of the most terrifying things that you can think of? I understand. That could be a scary thing. But to be inviting, we can take that risk. It is okay if the person that we talk to rejects us, because we know we are fully accepted in Christ. This just last night kind of happened to me in Powdersville. There are very few people that I recognize their faces there. So I had a choice to make, that I could either be self-protective and stand back and wait on people to talk to me, or I could be inviting and welcoming and take a risk by talking to other people. Now think of it. There are two girls here that we can think of. One is the popular girl, the in crowd. She's always got people talking to her, life of the party. And then the one who maybe sometimes feels left out, doesn't feel included, gets her feelings hurt because of that. Both girls, one can be self-promoting, the other self-protective. Both have an opportunity to be inviting and not focus on themselves. Morgan, actually, when she was in middle school, went through that. Her, if any of y'all know her, I think some of you do, her personality tends to be a little quiet. And it was easy for her to sit back and wait to be included or invited to events and to be included in a conversation. And she started feeling left out and started getting her feelings hurt. And we had to have some conversations about that. And she started to realize that her feelings were selfish. They were self-focused. That it was her responsibility to include others, not to wait on others to include her. And that changed her whole perspective. And she was able to enter into conversations in a group and also to meet some new people and be including and inviting to them. Another way of inviting is, because Jesus is approachable, I can be kind and approachable. I want to be making sure that others feel welcomed by me. Now, what this can look like is, I don't have to include the inside jokes on all of my Instagram comments or in all of the conversations that I'm having in a group of people. What that does is that makes us feel good, because we know we have the inside story. And we're on the inside with the other people that know the inside joke. But what we're doing is we're excluding the people that don't know. That is not welcoming. That's not reflecting Jesus. So we want to be careful, and we can be thoughtful of our comments. How many of you have Instagram? Pretty much a lot. Okay. And it's that we can be thoughtful of our comments that we make on there, to make sure that we are inclusive and not exclusive of other people. We can be friendly and not self-protective, and not fearful when we're around people that we don't know. And this can include our family and other adults. We can take the risk of being inviting, because Jesus did that for us, and we are fully accepted in him. Because I'm completely accepted by Jesus, I can focus on how I can make others feel welcome and loved, instead of just focusing on myself. Do y'all see a pattern here? Talking about self-focus. talked about Instagram just a minute ago. This could be not going back and back and back and back and back and back and back to the picture that you just posted to see how many likes you got. I know what y'all do. You post a picture and you go see how many likes you have. And if you don't get a certain number of likes in a certain number of minutes, you delete the picture. Yes, I know. That is focusing on ourselves and taking away our ability to be welcoming and to focus on other people. Also, thinking about what we look like all of the time. Always worry, do I have the right clothes? Do I have the right brand? Am I wearing boots when everybody else is wearing boots? Or am I wearing a sweater when everybody else is wearing a sweater? Always being self-focused on that. Morgan, several years ago, now this, she's the only daughter I've ever had that was in middle school, so she's all of my illustrations. So, several years ago, she was going to a party and had this circumstance where she had this outfit that was really cute. And it was perfectly modest from an appearance standpoint, but she realized that when she put it on and she started thinking about the party and thinking about who's going to be there, that she was going to be distracted thinking about what other people were thinking about her rather than being able to focus her attention on being welcoming and loving the other people that were there and getting to know them. So she made a different choice. She changed her clothes. That would be hard to do. I was very proud of her for doing that. I wasn't even there. She made a different choice. It wasn't that she never wore that outfit again. It's just that she allowed the Holy Spirit to help her realize that in that circumstance, that was going to be distracting for her and keep her from being welcoming and inviting. So here's a big one. Conflict. Nobody in here has conflict, right? Conflict with friends, with parents, with siblings, of course. Because Jesus has forgiven me and shown me grace that I don't deserve, I am free to show grace when I think someone has sinned against me. When that girl is saying things about me that aren't true, I am free to not get my feelings hurt, to realize that when I get my feelings hurt, I'm thinking I deserve to be treated differently. It's a self-focused attitude. But showing grace, because it's been shown to me, is a Jesus and other-centered attitude. Do y'all see that? I said it's impossible without the Holy Spirit. But that's who we have, and that's the promise that we have. Remember the flashlight and the mirror. We're focusing on reflecting God's character, not focusing on ourselves. So let's talk about nurturing for just a minute. Nurturing is caring for others and helping them to be who God desires them to be. Anybody seen Lion King? Meredith said it's the best movie ever. Y'all think that? Classic. Classic movie. It is. I told her it's based off a Shakespeare play, and she didn't even know that, but it really is. Okay, well, Lion King, we've got a clip. And this is when Simba is away having a good old time. Everybody thinks he's dead. Nala's out hunting, and she meets up with him, and they have a conversation. So let's listen.
You're the king.
No, we've been through this. I'm not the king.
All right. So are you seeing a little bit of Nala nurturing Simba there, helping him to be who he was created to be? She kind of speaks tough to him, doesn't she? She's telling him to come back, accept responsibility, kind of get over himself. She's speaking boldly and firmly, but she's speaking the truth. And she's calling him and encouraging him to be and do what he was called to do. She's taking a risk to step out and talk to him that way and tell him the truth. But that's a great example of nurturing. So how can that look for you? Because this is, think of it this way. Because Jesus didn't worry about whether or not others would accept him, but loved them by telling them the truth. I am free to love others and speak to the truth to them without fearing rejection. And even if they reject me, it's okay, because I'm fully accepted by Jesus. This is going to the girl that you have a conflict with, going in humility to reconcile, knowing that she might reject you, but you're doing the right thing by offering reconciliation. This is not talking to my friends about her and just trying to get them to agree with me that I really should be angry and I really should feel so hurt the way I do. Or this is going to the girl that you're worried about because you've seen her hanging around with some people that you don't think are a good influence on her, or because of some things that you've heard her say, or any number of things. But it's going to her and actually talking to her rather than talking about her and everything you're worried about her to just to your friends. Taking a risk to actually help her and speak the truth to her. This could also be encouraging your friend who has a conflict with someone else. Instead of just sitting there feeling important because she's telling you all the junk and she's confiding in you and you're just this great shoulder to lean on and she needs you to listen to her. Instead, it's not about you. It's not about the mirror. It's encouraging her to go to her friend and reconcile, encouraging her to do the right thing. This could be talking to your sibling about something that they have going on in their lives, helping them to see how they can reflect Jesus and how he can help them. Instead of just sitting back and ignoring it, acting like you didn't hear, or worse, making fun of them, you have an opportunity to nurture them. Another way of thinking of nurturing is because Jesus put others before himself, I can put others first. One way to do this is thinking of ways to be intentionally thankful to other people, encouraging them and helping them see when they're being more like Jesus. We actually had this happen in our family this week. Graham and Maureen were in the car with me, and I was talking to them about some of my illustrations. And Meredith mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I was talking about when y'all run into the car, calling back middle instead of shotgun. How many are y'all going to do that tonight? That's putting others first. Okay. Well, what happened is Morgan turned around to Graham in the car and said, "Thank you for not ever arguing about where we sit in the car." That is nurturing. She was nurturing him, encouraging him to continue to be who God's called him to be. Nurturing is being okay with not being first in line, or being okay not to be your best friend's partner, to let that other girl who maybe doesn't have a lot of friends be your best friend's partner, or maybe not be standing in line with your whole group of friends, but be by yourself because that is helpful to someone else. Remember, we're not thinking about and focused on the mirror. We're reflecting the character of Jesus. So finally, let's talk about partnering. Remember, partnering is helping someone else accomplish their goal. Because Jesus was obedient to the Father without complaining and attempting to get his own way. Y'all know what I'm going to say, don't you? I am free to be obedient to my parents and the authorities in my life. This looks like doing what I'm asked to do with a good attitude. Now go back to the verse that we talked about. What do we have? Just a few things. We have everything we need to live a godly life. That means we have what we need to not grumble and complain when we're asked to do something by an authority. Or because Jesus gave sacrificially for me, I am free to give sacrificially of myself to other people. I can sacrifice my comfort and my entertainment by owning my responsibilities at home and at school and actually doing my homework without being asked, actually cleaning up my room without being asked, actually putting up the dishes that might not even be my chore to do that night without being asked, sacrificing my comfort for the good of others is exactly what Jesus did for us. I can sacrifice my time to help my sibling with chores, with anything that they need. I can sacrifice my fear and my self-protection and actually speak up in small group and partner with my small group leader. My girls here, I've got three of them in the room, and they are awesome at doing that with me. That's getting over your self-protection, looking at it as an opportunity to trust Jesus, that even if everybody in the group makes fun of you for what you say, it's okay. But taking the risk that by speaking up and sharing and being vulnerable, that you're helping someone else and you're partnering with your leader to help others see Jesus. Do you see that? Well, we have talked about a lot tonight, haven't we? All 3 weeks, we talked about a lot. It's a lot for you to think of and talk to your moms about. But what I want us to take away here tonight, just to kind of bring it all back together, is that when we turn from our sin and believe in Jesus, He accepts us completely and gives us new life. We are free to live without self-protection and without self-promotion, but in a way that represents Him and reflects Him to others, not drawing focus and attention to ourselves or the mirror, but focusing on Jesus. Because of who He is and what He has done, He has given us everything we need to follow Him. So I hope y'all have a great time talking to your moms tonight. Meredith is going to come back up and give you some instruction for that. And I am thankful that y'all were so attentive and listening.